Tomorrow with no memory, I'm busting hell wide open. I'm going to do everything and anything that I want to do because I ain't worried about a thing, a person, or a place. You hear me? I'm busting hell wide open. Child, the reason why I am who I am today is because of my memory and what I know and who I know and whose I am. That's why I don't do the things that I don't do.
Yeah, child.
Woo, child.
Look.
Another week.
Hey, they yawning in the can. I said, I know you lying.
Listen. It's two of me now, okay? So you go take these yawns. I ain't hiding nothing.
You gonna stop talking about Caden.
Y'all gonna get what y'all gonna get, okay? I'm gonna tell y'all right now.
TT, hey, yawning.
Nothing. I'm tired. I'm big and tired.
Yeah, that she is, y'all. Big and tired.
Big and tired. Okay.
Oh, have mercy.
Tread lightly.
I ain't gonna ask you how your day been because you say you tired. So I'm gonna go with that.
I'm feeling like Dream Girls. Heavy.
Yo.
I feel real heavy, baby. I'm.
When she get to 8 months, man, she gonna be falling over, y'all.
Y'all, I hope I'm not working in 8 months, because, baby.
I think there's another one behind it, y'all. I ain't gonna tell.
Yeah, I
said no more.
I'm gonna be like Leandria Johnson. Deliver me, Jesus, because I can't.
Ooh, you always cutting up, man.
Don't have no kids when you about to got the nerve to be 39 and pregnant, about to be 40. Child, this ain't for the week, okay?
About to be going through menopause and everything, trying to have a baby.
That's what I thought it was in the beginning. I said, oh, I'm going through the check. Oh, yeah, you changing it, right?
I'm going through the change.
Oh, Jesus. It was a change, all right.
That's your menopause, baby. That's what you tell him when you get a little baby. Yeah. You the menopause baby.
Yeah, you the last one before.
All right, y'all. We made it. Listen, we was contemplating about this season because Caden. I said, you know, do you want to just cut it short? She's like, nah, we're gonna push through.
We're gonna push through. So y'all gonna get what we got. And hopefully it'll be enough for a whole season. But if it stops. Yeah. That means we had a surprise.
That's it.
Now y'all. We'll see y'all next season with him in my arm. Like, okay, so listen, this is what we gonna do.
Okay, this is how we gonna do this thing. All right, so you gonna read the question today?
Sure. Let me give the people the premise first. Okay, y'all, so you know we're in season three. We got the good sound effects and we here. Right, so season three is all about survival, and each week we're going to give you a topic about what we are specifically surviving. Right, so I'm gonna put this disclaimer out now. These episodes are pre-recorded because of my condition. Okay, so if y'all see us with the same shirt next week, that's because we're doing two episodes at a time. Don't think we out here stinking. Okay, because life is life, but we here for you. We here to give you what we got. Okay, so y'all just gonna get it how we giving it. Okay,
I'm done.
This week we are talking about surviving the advice, and this is a very, very important episode. So I want to be as delicate as possible and as real as possible, because not all advice is good advice. Okay, and a lot of advice that we have gotten has shaped our mental, has shaped how we live life. And it comes a time when that light bulb come on and you just be like, that don't fit. Like, it may have fit for you, because everybody's life puzzle looks different, right? So we have to be mindful that people only give us what they know for themselves, right? And it might not necessarily work for you individually. So you got to learn what to take and what to throw away. So this episode is all about what we done took and what we learned to throw away.
Okay.
Okay. Whew. All right. So first question is, what's one starting off heavy? What's one piece of advice you were taught growing up that turned out to be completely wrong?
Child.
I'm glad I'm reading the questions.
Let me tell you something. It's been a lot of things I've been told that I learned better as I got older and I went through it. Number one, I know my seasoned folks out there are gonna probably be like, no, she didn't. Listen, when it comes to marriage, I wouldn't say that I was taught this, but I saw this through my lenses coming up, that the older crowd would stay in marriages through it all. Literally, you know, long as he's taking care of the household and he's providing, you know, he could do whatever he want to do. He can get husband treatment, whatever. But you're supposed to stay there until the wheels fall off, literally, and be treated however you want to be treated. But let me tell you something. Today's world and today's generation said that's not that. You know, I might have been taught that way. But there's certain things that I'm not going to deal with. I'm not going to let you go out there and cheat on me every day just because you bring a couple of dollars in the house to take care of the house. No. And I'm not going to think that, okay, well, I worked so hard for this marriage because, you know, and I feel like, you know, I got to stay here. Work hard doing what exactly? But nowadays, women are not the same either. You got women that are very independent, that are taking care of the household, that don't mind packing up and leaving, and they can do so because they have the means. Yeah, look at her. She pointing at herself. They got the means to go. They don't got to stay there and let Harry take care of them. They can get on about their business. But my mindset when it comes to marriage, I believe from looking at people around me, I feel the same way. Oh, you're supposed to stay there and you're supposed to deal whatever you need to deal with and you're supposed to get through that sickness and health, death to be part, rich or poor, whatever season you're in, deal with it. Because you signed up for that. You got married, so you got to deal with everything that come with it. I don't believe in divorce because of what was around me. True. But a lot of things from the olden days, you can't use today. You gotta, like sis say, you gotta pick and choose. Like, hey, is this for me? This ain't me. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. But, you know, that's just my take on it.
Let me say something. My name ain't Barbara, and it ain't Shirley. So you call me and want to have a woman-to-woman conversation, that's for the old school folks know what I'm talking about. It's a song called Woman to Woman. And in the song, the lady is calling the other woman. She said, hello, is this Barbara? Well, this is Shirley. And she go on to tell this woman about how she love this man and she ain't leaving this man because she's basically the wife. Let's just say she's the wife. And the other woman is the side piece, the girlfriend. And she's going on this, she's going on for like 4 minutes telling this other woman how much she love this man. And he's sitting here cheating. Let me tell you something. At the end of the day, before I say I do, and this is something that I did not do the first two times, but I'm going to do this time. I'm going to tell you my deal breakers. That's just like a prenup. I'm going to give you a verbal prenup. If you decide to do whatever I said I do not tolerate, then I owe it to myself and my children to pack my tip and grip and go.
Because not tip and grip.
Yes, you say old school, so I'm giving you old school. So with that being said, tread lightly, because at the end of the day, the older generation felt like, you know, providing was so important because, let's keep it a buck, a lot of the women were not working. So they needed that financial security. and they were willing to tolerate any and everything because they didn't have that financial backing that they needed because they were meant to be in a house and rearing the children. Now we are doing it all and we can do it all. And quiet as kept, we make probably more money because most of us have educations, you know, higher educations. Most women have gone to college and did all the things. That's why they make more money. But at the end of the day, we don't have to, and this is not even just generalizing for women, it's men too. We don't have to sit here and tolerate anything that does not give us peace. Point blank, period. Don't think because you a man and you provide, quote unquote, because you got a little money, that you're the only one that got money, baby. Don't let me turn the active status on, because honey, they will come to the yard, and trust me, it will be way more than what you bring into the table, okay? And just like a female, don't think because what you got between your legs is the only gold that's in town. Because, okay, baby, there are plenty who don't care about a status.
Okay.
And they will take that man and be like, oh, I'll groom him. I'll cook for him. I'll do this. I'll do that. Because a lot of women just want companionship. So they don't care about all of that. As long as you come home every night, you could do whatever you want to do.
That's it.
So don't think that you are the hottest thing since sliced bread, because there's always someone better, right? But okay, the reality is, you know that there's always somebody better, but if this person is willing to ride for you when you had nothing and is still riding for you when you got a little something, you should treat them like you got everything.
Okay.
And that goes both ways.
Okay. But you know what, sis? Back in the day, they was having children on these women. Listen,
I'm a product of that. I'm a product of that. Now, my situation, my father was married. I don't know if he was legally separated from his wife or he did the melanin thing and just left and they just decided to be separated. And he met my mom, started talking to my mother. They was in a whole relationship. He living with my mother. Helped my mother raise my brother. My brother's 16 years older than me, so you do the math of how long they was together.
Wow.
He helped my mother raise my brother, and my brother was small, so he was probably like, I don't really know the age. I want to say he was less than 5. Helped her raise my brother until I came along, and he left when I was 3. So I'm a product of that. So I live my life every day being the other child. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So at the end of the day, that's why I won't tolerate it, because I already know not only are you crippling the woman or the person that was cheated on, whether it's the man or the woman, that child now has to live a life isolated.
Yep.
Because now they're the other child. So our decisions don't just affect us. It affects everybody. So you got to be mindful about that.
Everybody. Everybody.
Oh, so let me tell you my advice for me. My mom told me, and don't come for my mama because I will come back. Like I said earlier, people tell you what they think is right for them at the time.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's advice to me was, and has always been growing up, a halfway decent man is better than no man at all. And I just told you the premise of what she dealt with. So that shows you why her mindset was the way that it is. Okay. My mother was looking for companionship because my mother is an alpha female. She makes the money, honey. So she don't need you to provide nothing because she provides everything. At the end of the day, it was just about companionship. So to her, you go ahead, do what you gonna do, because I just need you to take me on a trip. Let's just chill. We good. You know, I want to go out. Okay, cool. That was her mindset. And to me, growing up, that allowed me to tolerate a lot and settle for a lot of what I did not deserve, because I deserved way better, expecting lower than the bare minimum just because this person seemed decent or they were okay or whatever the case. We are God's children. We do not deserve okay. We deserve the absolute best. And at the end of the day, you should not settle for anything less than that.
Amen. Amen.
So if a person can't make you feel how God tells you, you like you are, if God tells you you special, if God tells you you're rare, if God tells you you're set apart, if that person don't make you feel like you are special and you are set apart from the rest and they treat you like everybody else, then leave that person alone. Don't settle for that. Because at the end of the day, we got one life. And you don't want to be sitting here miserable thinking about the shoulda, coulda, wouldas because you done met somebody that's halfway decent. And you could have had a way better life because your life depends on who you choose.
That part.
And that's what nobody told us. So we're telling you, your life depends on who you choose. How far you go depends on who you choose and who you hang around.
That's a fact.
So question number two, in what ways has traditional advice around gender roles or parenting missed the mark?
Oh, child.
I think you touched on that a little bit with the whole providing and in this generation, because nobody provides nothing.
Not anymore. Okay. But you know
providing
what?
Headaches.
I do think that it's a bunch of mess when it comes down to saying that the woman should be the one in the house cooking, cleaning, caring for the child, and the husband should be out making the money. I feel like at the end of the day, that's a dual thing. Because do you know how hard it is to carry a household alone? That's hard. While the other person go out and work. And I don't think people give stay-at-home moms the right credit because they think they don't do nothing.
But the more kids you have, the harder it is.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes with that one, depending on how old they are, it can be difficult for you to do things. Sometimes you can't get nothing done, especially if there's a small child. And they say sleep when they sleep. You can't when you got a million and one things to do. You thinking about, oh, I got to wash the dishes. Oh, I got to wash clothes. Oh, I got to cook dinner. It's something always to be done. Period. Come on now. You know it.
I mean, I can't necessarily agree with that because I was a stay-at-home mom when I was with Christian and I did it all. I didn't complain. The only thing that I did complain about is on the weekends, I prioritized mommy daddy time. I prioritized adult time. I was sick of the backyardigans. I didn't want to talk about no kids. I didn't want to watch no cartoons. The weekend, especially when he was with his grandparents, the weekend, let's prioritize us and keep it that way. I think we had a good schedule. I think it all depends on the teamwork because a lot of the times when you are a stay-at-home mom or you are a stay-at-home parent, the other parent who was working feels like that's their only job. When you're a stay-at-home parent, the stay-at-home parent is looking for that outlet, right? So it's like when you go to work every day, however you go to work, whether you drive, you take public transportation, you have that time to woosah. You have that time to think, to breathe, to get a break. Fresh air, whatever it is that you need, right? To get yourself mentally ready to clock in. Then you clock out and get that same amount of time. But when you are a stay-at-home parent, you don't get that privilege to just clock in and clock out and get that travel time and get the woosah and all this. It's like, it's a job you never clock out from. And when the person comes home, they're ready to check out, whether it's to eat, shower, sleep, recharge for work the next day, not thinking that this person wants to clock out of work too.
Right.
And that's where the problem lies. But if you have somebody who understands that dynamic, then it won't be as bad because then you get the opportunity to do the thing that you need to do, your commuting time, whether that's for you, it could be
take a shower,
an episode, take a shower, you know, like eat maybe just with both hands. You know what I mean? Like, it's the little things that, but people don't understand that. People don't understand that. And that's where communication comes in, because you as a stay-at-home parent don't understand the dynamic of, I'm tired mentally. I don't want to hear all that. Don't bombard me and nag me when I get home, because I don't want to hear all that. You being the stay-at-home parent, you don't want to hear, you don't want to take the bait. What you mean? Give me an hour. I need to shower. I haven't showered all day. Especially if it's a baby and they're teething and they're going through today. Well, they might be, in Gabby's case, y'all, super clingy, okay? And don't want to go to nobody else because just want mama all day. You know what I'm saying? So you need that. Just give me a minute. Let me go to the store. Let me just walk around Walmart 5 times. I'll be back. Five. Just give me 5.
That's it. But
people don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand.
Child. Woo. Yeah, just the woosah, for real. But it's important to have that self-care moment. Like I said, I didn't know how important self-care was until I wasn't getting the moments where I can get what I need to get done. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
And that's important too, because you have to prioritize that. You don't understand how much you let yourself go when you become a new parent or a new husband or a new wife or whatever the case may be. You used to be fine when you was dating, getting your hair done, getting outfits and this, that, and the third. Then you merge your life with this person and it's like, whoa, I ain't getting my hair done in 6 months. Okay. I ain't buying a new outfit in 2 years.
Okay.
So you have to do. My niece, she be on TikTok, y'all, Skin for the Win. Shameless plug. She was talking about how every time she gets paid, she'll treat herself to lunch, or she'll buy her, you know, a lunch. Maybe she'll sit in a car or whatever the case may be. And the importance of just doing something little for yourself, whether it's just that. Maybe you sick of bringing oodles and noodles to work, or Chef Boyardee, or making sandwiches. Get yourself, when you get paid, get yourself something. One thing. It don't have to be extravagant. You don't got to go to the spa. But you can do they don't even got a dollar menu no more. You can go to McDonald's one day when you get paid and don't feel bad about it, because you worked hard and you deserve that. So you can deserve to splurge a little bit. Or if you don't want to do that, you take that $10 and you save it, depending on how often you get paid, and then let it build up to do what you really want to do. Mm-hmm. And you do it that way. So you feel like you're rewarded at least for what you do every day in this life. Because life is, life.
What?
If you can't reward yourself, you're going to feel like, what am I doing this for? I'm just waking up to go to work and die? Like, what?
What are we doing?
Right. And then on top of that, I got stressed with these kids. Child.
Said child.
Ooh, okay, so the next question is, what makes unlearning harder than learning something new?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. If you have been the type of person that, I said a child. Let's start at a child. You know, as a child, you learn things. And this is why I tell people all the time, you can learn racism. Because you can.
Yeah.
As a child, your parents can teach you that. And then when you get older, you're like, wait a minute, this is not right. Now you got to unlearn something that you've been told all your life was right.
Right.
So sometimes if you've been doing this for 10 years, then it's going to take 10 years for you to unlearn what you've been doing all that time.
Right.
To learn what is right, or just to learn something new altogether. So I feel like it's harder. It's 10 times harder to unlearn something, because when you become an adult, you start moving a little bit differently. You start, you know, seeing life for what it is. And you're like, man, I asked for this. I said that I couldn't wait till I got 18. For what?
The stupidest conversation.
To pay bills and struggle and have kids and what?
Struggle
and get beat up by bills and
struggle.
What? This is what being grown was about?
Mm-mm. I want a refund.
What? Take me back to when I said that comment so I can enjoy that moment.
Myself.
What we doing?
Okay.
But I really do think it's harder for you to unlearn things because that's just like habits. You know how they say it takes 21 days to undo a habit or learn a habit. But sometimes it takes people longer than that.
21 years.
Literally. But I do think that we all need to learn. You know, every day you learn something new. Every day I still learn something new that I didn't know. And you have to constantly, like my mom always say, concentrate your mind. And to be honest, I've been failing myself with that. I used to read a lot. I used to read a lot of things to become more knowledgeable about a lot of things. My mom know a lot of things because she read a lot. She read a lot or she's watching the news and she be always on me talking about, why you ain't watching the news? You need to watch the news because you need to know what's going on in the world. Everything that's going on in the world is bad. It's always something. You turn on TV, somebody got murdered. Something is going on that school I don't want to hear about.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear it. Now, you know, you're going to hear about a hurricane or, you know, a bad storm coming. Somebody going to talk about that. You got to go out here and run it. You know, black folks, we got to run out and get our bread and our water and buy it out. So we're going to always hear about a storm. Somebody going to call somebody and say, you know a hurricane coming. You better go out there and get you some bread and some
water. Two people in the house got six cases of water. Make it make sense.
Got all the water out the stove. Now you ride around everywhere trying to find you some water. But Harry over here done bought the whole store out. And for what?
And then nothing even happened.
Nothing happened. The leaves barely blow. That's a state of emergency. So, but I've learned over the years that you have to do your own research. You can't be so quick to believe everything out here in this world, especially with AI out here now anyway. You can't believe nothing now, really, because AI make it look so good and so real.
Yeah, because TikTok be having me messed up. I be thinking it's real, and it be AI the whole time. I be
the whole time talking about somebody's life, and it's a lie. You can't hardly believe what's on social media now. You can't even believe what people say anymore. But people have you out here hating people for no reason. Honestly. So I've learned to do my own research, and you have to go through it yourself in order to learn what's going on around you. So to me, yes, unlearning is harder than learning something new, in a nutshell.
I think the older you get, the harder it is to unlearn. Well, you know, the Bible also talks about renewing your mind daily, right? And that's the same thing as consecrating. Consecrating just means concentrating and just really honing in on what's important. And that's, you know, things above, right? Set your eyes on the things above and not what you see in front of you. Because, baby, if you look and you see what's in front of you, then you're gonna start looking from the side and all that. But if you look up, that's the only you know, direction you're trying to go. You know, if you look straight, you're gonna see this. It's too many distractions.
Too many.
So you gotta keep your eyes on the prize. And then there's a song from the old school, and they say experience is a good teacher. Experience helps you unlearn as well. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, like we just said in the first question, that advice that came with experience, that came with a lot of trial and error.
Yep.
And then there's a saying that says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So, you know, all of that goes hand in hand. So it's a little bit of everything. And unlearning is definitely harder, especially when you get older, because you get more set in your ways.
Set in your ways. Yep.
And then if you, depending on who you hang around and your people, your community, your village, whatever you want to call it, you might outgrow them because their mindset is different from yours. So it's harder to unpack that. It's kind of like having an addiction. Like if you're smoking or you're drinking, you only know that particular life. You don't know what you look like sober, or, you know, when you're not doing that anymore, or you don't know what the recovery version of you will look like. And that's what unlearning is. It's learning how to navigate this new normal. It's easy to tap into the familiar, but it's hard to navigate change. Mm-hmm. It's hard. So, I mean, you just got to be dedicated to who you want to become. And it hopefully gets easier than when you do it that way.
Okay. That's a heavy hitter. I'm gonna read this one. No, you're not gonna do that to me. No. All
right, go ahead.
Can you share a moment when you consciously chose to do things differently, and what happened?
Share a moment when I consciously chose to do things differently. I chose to do things differently twice, and divorced and got out of Dodge. I chose that because, okay, so in my first marriage, I was young, right? And I was 23, and we were pregnant with my oldest. And, you know, in the Black church, when you get pregnant, you got to get married, honey. No, baby. You don't got... I'm 23 years old. What I know about being somebody's wife? I don't even know the first thing about being a woman, let alone somebody's wife, let alone someone's mother. So imagine trying to navigate all three at the same time. Okay. So that played a lot. And then, you know, you trying to figure out who you are, then you figuring out who this person is while raising this little person, and then you find out that you and this person, y'all cool, but y'all don't mesh well when it comes to what you envisioned your life where marriage is concerned. You know, I'm 23, but I'm a golden girl. So my mental is 32 already at 23. He's 23 and his mental is 18. He want to still party and club and do whatever. How can two walk together unless they agree? Right? That's the Bible. Then my second marriage, I thought, listen, all right, now I done been divorced now. I ain't doing this again. I'm in it. I'm in there. Hell, come hell high water. But that came with abuse. A little physical, but mostly mental. It got to the point where I didn't even recognize myself. I couldn't even look in the mirror. I didn't recognize myself. Just a shell of myself. I wasn't getting my hair done the way I was supposed to. Wasn't wearing my clothes. I wasn't wearing what I wanted to wear. I was just whatever he wanted me to be, kind of like Dina from Dreamgirls, right? And then you get that moment when you have that listen moment, that song, that was me. And you get your own voice and you realize that your voice matters. Even though he says it mattered, you didn't act like it did.
Come on,
you have to know that for yourself, right? So I realized that this is not what I want for my life. This is not my envision of marriage yet again. And I don't want my sons to see this is the type of behavior, this is how you treat your wife. So whether I can or cannot, I'm a get out of here. So I had to make that choice, as difficult as it was, because the older folks would say, well, you stay. And I stayed up until the point where I had that window, and that window was for infidelity. And I got the heck up out of Dodge because that was my out. And I asked God, if you give me a window, I'm out and I'm never coming back. And I did that. So you have to be ready to be the difference maker, no matter the cost. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you only have one life. And like we always say, you are the blueprint for you and the people around you. And especially if you have kids, yes. You are the blueprint. So you have to make sure that what they're seeing is worth something to build off of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whew. Let me see. I was sitting here thinking all the time, like, you know, what did I do differently? Because I was hard here. Like, my mom would tell me to do something. And I'm sitting there looking and I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm grown. I'm going to do it my way. You know, went down St. Anne Street and back round the wine and back up Dixon and could have went right down St. Anne the way she told me to go. So I listened for the most part, but most of the time, you know, we all go through that hardhead stage where like we're going to do with our life. We're grown and we got the power in our hands to do what we want to do. But I think one thing I probably did differently than traditionally is I got married at Justice Peace. Now, from a child, I always wanted to get married. and have two children. That was my dream. Get married, have two children. Traditionally get married, have the big old wedding with everybody there that Wait loves me.
Traditionally married mean what?
Having a big old wedding.
Oh, not a married a man. Having Girl, oh, I was about to say, girl.
Stop your mess. Anyway, any hoo how. No, ma'am, no, sir. But I always had that dream to get married, have two children, okay, and have this big, extravagant wedding. You know, everybody loved me there, you know, but it didn't work out that way. Me and my wife, we planned a big old engagement party. I mean, when I say big, big. I invited probably about 200 people on my side, and she probably invited about 100 on her side. It was supposed to be this big old thing.
That's a lot of people.
Look, we wanted everybody we loved there. Mm-hmm. How many people showed? I probably can count on both of my hands how many people showed. Wow. All that food. Mm. All that food we prepared. All that money we spent out, and only a handful of showed. So, you know, we were thinking about this thing, like, now, do we really want to, you know, have this big old wedding and 10 people show? And then spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a wedding? So when that window opened for us to get married, we hauled to just a because at the end of the day, it was more about us being married than the people showing up to see us get married. So, yeah, I didn't get married traditionally, and I didn't get married to a man. So, at the end of the day, I still got married. Sure, we had our ups and downs, but marriage don't. But at the end of the day, we're still hanging in there. We might be by a couple threads or a couple nails here and there, whatever. But we're still hanging in there. 10 strong ones. 17 years together. And I'm like, we got to 10-year mark. I was like, wait a minute. We made it?
Do you think that 10 years went by fast, or was it
what? Like, girl, did it? Oh, it the first 5 went by fast. Mm. I was like, where did time go? And that's why sometimes in marriages or whatever the case may be, you can get really comfortable real soon, real fast, in a hurry because you just the years just start falling by, just coming by. Next thing you know, we celebrating almost 20 together, and we looking at where did time go. So I would say that's what I did differently. Traditionally different than what I was supposed to do. All right, y'all. So this is the last question, y'all. This she know we got sound effects over. She didn't give me a chance to even do it, y'all. Golly.
Give me game show vibes. So that sound means that we have came to the last question of our
show. That was funny.
So let me read it first. Child.
Okay.
This is what she do early in the morning.
I got it.
How do you balance honoring your past with everything? How do you balance honoring your past with evolving into your future?
Well, I do believe that everything that you learn in your life through your parents, they're only teaching you what they know. They can't teach you no more than what they know. So I feel like at the end of the day, you take what you've learned from your parents and you can put a twist to it because you're still learning. And whatever you're learning, you can also teach them as well. Because there's a lot of conversations me and my mom have sometimes. And I'd be like, well, you know what, mama? Such and such and such. She'd be like, I never thought about it like that. You know what she told me the other day? She said, you got more time to be dead than alive.
When you think about it, yeah.
I said, what? I said, say that one more time. She said, you got more time to be dead than alive. Because you don't know how long you're going to live. But once you're dead, you're dead. You're gone.
Eternity.
That's a done deal. You can't go back on that. Never thought about that ever in my life. So each day that you live, I feel like you're going to learn something different from your parents. You're going to learn something different about yourself. Because truth be told, sometimes we don't really truthfully know ourselves fully. I'm just learning things about myself that I probably should have learned a long time ago. But when you start stepping into who you are, ain't nobody going to be able to take you away from that. So by honoring my past is honoring my parents, honoring everything that they taught me, honoring all the lessons that I learned along the way, making sure that I still build their legacy at the same time of me being the blueprint and building a legacy for my children and those that come behind me and still pushing forward in the future at the same time. That's how I look at it.
So how I balance the two, because that's a lot to read. I'm going to read it again. How I balance the two. I try to keep God with me. The past is full of excitement, anticipation, a little bit of naivety, but a strong desire to be the best version of myself. It's childlike, right? And the only consistent thing that I remember when going through something as a child was always running back to church, always listening to Kirk Franklin, always singing gospel until my heart felt like it was about to explode out my chest. So I have to keep that. And that's the only way to navigate or evolve into the future, because things are always constantly changing, but that's the one thing that won't change.
That's what
I'm saying. So I have to keep that at the forefront. And that's why, you know, it's important to renew your mind daily and to do that daily and to meditate on the things of God daily, because everything else is subject to change except Him. People, places, things, technology, jobs, your body, your health, everything is subject to change. Children. So that's the only constant thing. And that's how I am balancing now at this ripe old age of 39.
Child, so that goes.
Keep the two.
That goes back to that Twisted Tuesday we did about, you know, the things that, you know, people say by and by, and, you know, you keep living, yeah. Stuff like that. Like, it's a lot of things I look at differently now through these lenses than I did back then, because I've always wore glasses. But it's a lot of things I'm willing to deal with, I'm not willing to deal with now that I did back then. I'm at a point in my life, if it don't serve me no purpose, it's got to go. If it's not bringing me no peace, it's got to go. And like you said, the only opinion to me that really, really, really sticks is God's.
Yeah.
I used to listen to all that stuff around me. You ain't good enough. You can't do this. Da, da, da. Now it's like,
what does he say?
What is it? What?
Now what do they say? What does he say?
What does he say? But at the older you get, though, sis, the more you start to lean on God more, because you realize that everybody around you, you can't depend on them, but you can depend on Him. And sometimes you got to sit and you got to just let Him do His thing, and that's hard. That's the hardest thing to do, is sit back and just be like, all right, God, you got it, homie. Go ahead and do it. Do your thing. Do your big one on this. I did that one time, yeah, and like, lost my mind.
Yeah, because I let him do his thing, but can you give me cliff notes so I know?
I mean, like, give me something.
If we getting close to the finish line or something, because, child.
A hit or something, a peak.
I'm going through over here.
He'll make you wait, too. He will make you wait, but it's everything that I've learned. Everything in your life is not on your timing. It really is on God's time. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen and when God allows it to happen. He's going to let that devil grab a hold of you for a little bit. Yes, Lord. He's going to let him drag you for a little bit. Then he's going to step in and say, she belonged to me. What you thought you was finna do? Like, dang, just a nick of time you saved me. I thought I was drowning.
Always. You let that water get all the way up to here.
All the way up. I'm wrecked. I can't even see. And now you show up and you
snatch you out real quick.
Snatch me out the water real quick. Like, you knew you was going to do that. But I was dying. I just knew I wasn't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Y'all, listen. Y'all take nothing else from this episode today. anything that you've learned from your past, you keep it. You take a pen and you pin it where you need to pin it. But you need to also take the lessons that you're learning along the way, the experiences that you're having as well, and put that together and make something of your life. Because at the end of the day, the older you get, the more you're going to have somebody come behind you, your children, your grandchildren. Somebody is looking at you. Somebody is depending on you to be that blueprint and leave a legacy behind for them. So listen, take from this episode that, you know, even though it was that way, it doesn't always have to be that way. Period. Look, I know what you're going to say, yep. Y'all.
And with that being said, guys, we're always here, healing hearts and inspiring change.
Later, y'all. What's up, everybody? So we're now in season 3 of the Preparation Podcast. And this season is about survival. Listen, I was surviving through these episodes, right? Because I was sick. Like, when I feel sick, I have a bad sinus infection. But we still had to make sure that y'all was still out there inspiring people and healing hearts. So, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Make sure you like. And share with somebody this resonates with. All right, let's get back into the episode.